The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Shavua Tov, how are you?
Boker Tov, Shavua Tov. Yeah, our 1,072 hours was yesterday.
Yeah, exactly.
Just before we get into all the meat of things, just a little interesting snippet against the backdrop of the Operation Guardian of the Walls. Mm-hmm. There is this interesting report about Ismail Haniyeh, who is the Hamas political chief in Gaza, and the fact that his 17-year-old niece actually was hospitalized in an Israeli hospital during the period of Operation Guardian of the Walls. And she apparently is receiving a bone marrow transplant, being treated for cancer in an Israeli hospital. It's one of those little pieces of information that they forget to mention when criticizing Israel, when calling for Israel's destruction, that actually some of their family members, and this is not a unique situation, that family members of very, very senior anti-Israeli politicians on the Hamas side, and indeed Fatah to a large degree as well, do get very, very extensive and caring treatment by Israeli medical system. So, you know, it's just something that we can bear in mind while all of the drama goes on, the boycotts against Israel and the anti-Israel rhetoric builds up, that this also is one of the factors that we could potentially think about.
It's crazy, because that to some extent is actually the real story. That is the real story there.
I think it is definitely part of the real story.
Yeah, because it sort of captures this whole bizarre, you know, what is for the public, what is for media, and what is really happening on the ground. It's fascinating.
I just think that it's, you know, unfortunately one of the sides, humanitarian sides, that just gets completely forgotten about and lost in all the
yeah,
drama.
Yeah, I'm not sure forgotten. Forgotten means, you know, it's just happened. I think it's a deliberate denial. It's a cognitive dissonance as far as I'm concerned. But, anyway, let's talk about what went on over the weekend with regard to the drama in the political arena, because there was plenty of it with, Prime Minister Netanyahu, as well as Naftali Bennett. It actually got a bit embarrassing, I thought.
I thought it was a little embarrassing too, I have to say. I was watching it last night. Naftali Bennett announced that he was going to make a big declaration on TV. The cameras were on him around 8 o'clock last night. And the nation watched as he decided and announced formally that he has decided to pursue forming a government with the Change Group, with Yair Lapid and the Change Group. Now, of course, Yair Lapid formally has the mandate at the moment to form the government. So at least until Wednesday, he is the only person who could bring a government to the president. And Naftali Bennett decided last night that is what he's going to do, that he's going to pursue the idea of forming a government with Yair Lapid. And then he was closely followed on TV by Prime Minister Netanyahu. And yeah, it wasn't a good performance by Netanyahu. I have to say, in my opinion, I think he's better than that. I think that, you know, it sounded very sore. It sounded like almost a bad loser situation. He presented to the nation that Naftali Bennett knows very well that if he allows this period of the mandate to elapse, this period of Yair Lapid's mandate to elapse, then a right-wing government will absolutely 100% be formed. That is a foregone conclusion. And I don't know why we would believe that that's a foregone conclusion when we've already had four rounds of elections form a government.
Absolutely.
And Prime Minister Netanyahu had the mandate in his hand and he couldn't form a government. Why is it so obvious that as soon as the Yair Lapid mandate lapses, that a government will be formed, a right-wing government? Again, we're using very, very emotive language, this whole right versus left situation, that Naftali Bennett is now going in with the left and is forming a left-wing government, when in fact what Israel needs right now is a strong right-wing government, and if only he would join the right right-wing government, then it would be the best thing for the state of Israel. You know, all of this was presented, and of course, Naftali Bennett really castigated at every possible opportunity. Prime Minister Netanyahu's performance was really all about trying to show Naftali Bennett in the worst possible light. And then, of course, he went on to make an interesting statement, which was that in any event, Naftali Bennett knows that in the next round of elections, he will be wiped out. Now, if it is so obvious that a government will be formed as soon as the Lapid mandate elapses, then why would Naftali Bennett even be worried about going to the next round of elections if we assume that there isn't going to be one? So lots and lots of contradiction, desperation, sounds of desperation. We know that in the background, a lot of action was going on, including within the Yamina party itself, where Ayelet Shaked, Naftali Bennett's partner in crime, has really been trying to somehow engineer the so-called right-wing government. And when we talk about right-wing governments and left-wing governments, I think it's a somewhat mistaken conception, because Prime Minister Netanyahu has tried at every possible opportunity to label anybody who opposes him or potentially goes against what he's trying to say as being a left-winger. That is just the way that people are painted in Israel. If you oppose Netanyahu, you are automatically considered to be a left-winger. But if we have a look at the makeup of this change government in the form of Gideon Saar and in the form of Naftali Bennett and Ayelet Shaked alongside him and in the form of Avigdor Lieberman, these are hardly left-wing politicians. They really are not. And so even though there are those who are more central in their political views, including Yair Lapid, and even though there are even left-wing parties, including Labour and Meretz, who are all coming together within this change government, and even though it will need to be supported from outside the government by an Arab party in order to get the required 61 seats in order to have the government, the 61 votes in order to form the government, this is really what Naftali Bennett called a unity government. I don't think it's a government of national unity, but I think it is a unity government that brings different sides of the political spectrum together. I know that within Yamina, there was a strong discussion, argument, even disagreement between Ayelet Shaked and Naftali Bennett about this. And what we understand from the reports is that Naftali Bennett finally said to Ayelet Shaked, you get us together with the so-called right-wing government, with the Likud-led government. You organize it. I'm giving you until 10 o'clock on Monday morning to bring the 61 seats that are needed in order to form the government. If by that stage we don't have a government in our hand, I am going my way and you will come along and you will join me. That's apparently the conversation that was held within Yamina. So even within Yamina, there is no uniform view about this, and there's a lot of heartache and searching about what needs to be done next. But having now made the decision and, of course, announced it to the nation, so I don't think that there's any going back now, it seems as if, though, the change government will finally be formed. We understand that Yair Lapid will need to finally sew together the last few bits to get the Yamina party into the coalition. He has until Wednesday to return to the president to say that he has managed to form a government. And then within another 10 days, the vote will need to be held in the Knesset in order to constitute the new government with a 61 majority, at least a 61 majority out of the 120 seats in the Knesset. It seems to us that that is what will happen, that Naftali Bennett will be the next prime minister with only 7 seats in the Knesset.
So that's going to be has that ever happened before? That
it's
the party with
before.
7
it's
seats,
never.
What's that, 5%?
It's never
ridiculous.
Happened.
It becomes the prime minister. I'm not saying he's a good choice or a bad choice. I actually don't really have a strong view on it, but it's quite unbelievable.
It's never happened before. And of course, the first words that came out of Prime Minister Netanyahu's mouth in his presentation on TV yesterday was that he was chosen by over 2 million Israelis to be the prime minister, to be the leader. Of course, he's alluding to the fact that Naftali Bennett didn't manage to get anywhere near the level of support that he personally managed to get.
I do hear that. I do hear that. You know, I think that is a valid point.
I think it's a very valid point to make, but unfortunately, even with those 2 million votes that he managed to garner, he is unable to form a government. Mm. He is simply unable to form a government.
Repeatedly.
And what we've seen, unfortunately, in Israeli politics, and indeed in Israeli society, is these massive cracks, splits, right the way through. You're on the left, you're on the right, you're not friends of ours, we're against you. Lots and lots of cracks and lots of divisions forming between different parts of society. And I'm really hoping that a new government and a new political lie of the land, a new framework within the political spectrum can somehow help to bring not only politicians a little bit closer together to work together, because here all of a sudden we're finding that this change government is bringing together people who have only one thing in common. And the one thing in common is that they don't want to have another round of elections. Mm. And, well, perhaps two things in common, because I think the second thing that most of them have in common is that they don't really want to see Prime Minister Netanyahu with another period, with another term as Prime Minister. So perhaps that is the only thing that unites all of these parties. Because for the rest, they do not have a similar political ideology at all. And so it's going to be very fascinating to see how this government is going to be able to operate with so many different political views and ideologies being represented within a single government. Now, we've seen more or less what the cabinet will look like. The various portfolios, cabinet portfolios, have pretty much been buttoned down and handed out. It seems as if though Naftali Bennett will serve the first 2 years of the period of the 4 year period, he will serve as prime minister, and then there will be a rotation at which time Yair Lapid will assume the position of prime minister. Benny Gantz is in the government, Gideon Saar is in the government, Ayelet Shaked is in the government. It seems that though for the Yamina party, I think they said that out of the 7 Knesset members, I think 5 of them are going to be ministers in the government, which is also unprecedented. Not only in Israeli political history, but probably anywhere in the world, to have a party that has only 7 seats, having actually 5 ministers in the government. So this is going to be a very, very fascinating and interesting time with many firsts, with many things that really haven't happened before. But I think the most significant thing is Prime Minister Netanyahu, it seems, is finally coming to the end of his term as Prime Minister. I think his next focus will necessarily have to be on defending his case in court, which, of course, in the background, the court hearing still continues. But for now, it seems as if though we're going forward with a change government. And if Yair Lapid is able to put those last few little bits and pieces together in order to stitch the government together, then I think we probably finally have something which looks like a government that many people in Israel will be able to support for one reason or another. Of course, what's interesting and fascinating as well is that the ultra-Orthodox parties are outside of the government completely for the first time in quite a few years.
Yeah,
and so that's also going to be very, very significant indeed.
Yeah, and I think that they have overplayed their hands as well, which is, I think, part of this reason. Defense Minister Gabi Ashkenazi held a meeting in Cairo. What's the purpose of this visit?
So this is the first time that an Israeli foreign minister has been in Cairo since 2008, which for me is astonishing that we have a peace agreement with Egypt. We have diplomatic relations. We have ongoing cooperation and interest. We are neighbors. We share a border. We have common interest in what happens in Gaza and what happens in the Palestinian Authority area. And yet our foreign minister has not been to Egypt for 13 years. That is just an amazing statistic, which I wasn't aware of, but which I became aware of yesterday when reading the report about Gabi Ashkenazi's visit to Egypt. So formally, his visit to Egypt would include, according to what he said, bilateral meetings, on bilateral matters, strengthening of economic and trade relations, as well as improved mechanisms for the rehabilitation of Gaza under international supervision. I think what we need to read into this is that he's gone to Egypt to try to resolve a more permanent ceasefire with Hamas in Gaza. Egypt, of course, have been the go-between people between Hamas and Israel already for a significant period of time. All of the previous Gaza conflicts were ultimately resolved, or a ceasefire was entered into with the intervention of Egypt and the Egyptian government, and this time has been no exception. What's also interesting is that while Gabi Ashkenazi flew to Egypt to have those meetings with his Egyptian counterpart, the Egyptian intelligence chief, Abbas Kamel, flew to Israel to have talks here with Prime Minister Netanyahu and indeed with Palestinian Authority officials in Ramallah. So it was a little strange for me that while Gabi Ashkenazi is there, that one of their main protagonists all of this story and the ceasefire arrangement was actually traveling in the opposite direction. And it shows, to me at least, some level of lack of coordination in our governmental affairs, because I would have thought that Gabi Ashkenazi would want to be part of those meetings here, or alternatively, this the intelligence chief, Abbas Kamel, would want to be part of meetings there, but that wasn't happening. So there is still talk about the possibility of the repatriation of those bodies of Israeli soldiers and the two Israelis who are in Gaza somewhere. We don't really know what the status of that is, but at least we know that there is discussion with the Egyptians in order to try somehow to create a longer-term solution.
Absolutely. That's where we leave it. Michael, I see your question. I am going to send it to Anthony, something we can look at discussing tomorrow. I think it is very relevant, and I do think it's information that our listeners would love to hear. It is 8 o'clock. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. We'll catch you tomorrow morning.